Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
We live in a world of fees. Airlines, hotels, food delivery, and especially car dealers all charge excessive last-minute fees. When you want something badly enough, it feels like your only choice is to pay up. But what if you had a choice to take a stand instead? At Carvana, we believe in treating you better. With zero hidden fees, you can drive off without feeling ripped off. That's what it means to live feelessly with Carvana.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why do you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome to Collider Live. Buenos dias. It's Friday. We've made it another week. I'm very happy to be joined by the great Mark Riley today.
Oh, thank you.
How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm fine, Darina. I got up real early this morning for Mando.
Yes.
Episode 3.
It looks like everyone did. Yeah, except
Fuck
me.
Yeah, that show.
Yeah, anyway. But also joining us, very excited to have the top 10 dorks in the house. Matt Knows, John Rocha.
Hello.
I love you call them top 10 dorks.
Yeah. I mean, it just came out naturally. Is that not true? Is that not an accurate statement?
I don't know that I've ever been called a dork. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You know, whatever.
We'll take it. I know, but we all are, we'll so it's okay.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. You can call me whatever you like. Yeah. You're never going to hurt my feelings.
No, same.
It's fine. Yeah. You have to actually know me to be able to rifle in and get me where it genuinely hurts. So you can say whatever you like.
Well, we got an hour to figure that out.
Yeah. So good luck. Good luck.
I see him less of a dork and Rocha more of a dork because of how you always move in the chair.
How's that dorky thing?
It's a dorky thing, and I love it, though.
Also, why do you
it's
always
great.
Bring the chair that makes you look like the dude from Inspector Gadget?
Oh.
Claw?
Dr. Claw.
Do you think I look like him?
Ooh.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, I can do Claw like nobody's
Nailed
business.
It.
Damn. You bring this special
chair
for yourself?
Yeah, because I'm comfortable in this chair. I like this chair. I don't really like the red chairs that we have in here. This is more comfortable. It's leather's cushion.
Okay.
It's got a back. It's got some handles on the side. I'm good to go. It's like a captain's chair in Star Trek, one of my favorite franchises. So
there it is.
Okay. I don't mind being a dork.
I'm going to call you the Dork Claw.
Dork Claw is good.
But last but not least, also joining us in the booth, as always, this show does not run without the lovely Cody Hall and Alex Marsonia.
Talk about us last.
Yo.
All right.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, sassy Cody already.
Sassy Cody's back.
Cody has been sassy for weeks now, and I'm digging it.
Mm. I've stopped caring about things.
Good. You know.
The Adam Smith route. I love it.
But you're,
give
you're,
it a shot, guys.
You're
it's great.
You're a new dad, though. Like, you shouldn't be
it's
doing
It's the one thing I need to care about.
Okay.
Everything else, fuck it.
Do they hear it the same way we hear it? Because there's an echo when we speak with him. So it almost sounds like a baseball announcer, like you're doing Lou Gehrig to him in there. Nice. And here he is, the great Cody Hall. And there's like this echo.
You know what's good? Way to appeal to the kids by saying Lou Gehrig. Way to go there. Man, there's a little more current.
There's a disease named after him. I think people have heard his name.
Fair point. There's not the Derek Jeter
also,
disease.
Exactly.
So
it's the Bernie Williams disease.
Oh, my God.
It's not like I went obscure more Yankees even from relevant times.
You got the Paul Molitor. That's what you got.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Cody does like baseball, so thank you for making that reference.
That's fine. What crappy Florida team is he watching?
You know? Oh!
Yeah, what's your crappy team?
We got Sassy Matt,
fan.
Too.
What's that?
He's an Angels fan.
Oh, goo. Enjoy Trout putting up good numbers on a pointless team for 10 years.
That's kind of hard. I remember when Socha took him to series.
I literally just met Matt like 10 minutes ago. I'm so glad you're here.
This
is what I do.
This is the show.
This is the top 10
show. We fit movies in between our bullshit.
And how you guys have been doing it for how long? 4 years, you said?
Four or five years.
That's crazy. And why? Like, what's your show about?
It's a good question. We've asked that question a number of times.
No, I'm curious.
Well, Nietzsche.
Let's get existential about this.
Exactly.
Why?
Albert Camus over here. I don't know. Life is pointless. We're trying to separate wheat from chaff.
Cody agrees with you. Remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Welcome to Claire.
He's got a child, though.
Yeah, so. We don't care about anything except Cody's baby, apparently. Because nobody has kids here except him, right?
Currently, yeah. No. Yeah. Nobody has kids except
him. Yeah. Well, no, but Cody, nobody else in the office should have kids except you. You're the smartest one.
I don't know about that.
What, you want kids, John?
I wouldn't. Well, no, not anymore. We're not going to have kids. My lady and I, we decided that's not happening. So,
but you
but there
want
was a time.
Kids.
Yeah, we're kids.
I want kids. Yeah. And,
you'd be a good dad.
I think you'd be a great dad. Yeah.
I mean, you'll get ulcers and agita and you'll go great.
I'm already freaking out talking.
You'd be a great dad.
We talked about it last night. And, you know, as my dog was eating through her fourth leash, I was like, this is great. Yeah, I can do this.
A baby could do that too.
Yeah, a baby's probably going to do that.
Yeah, don't tell the baby to fetch and you'll be fine.
No, and hopefully the baby doesn't crawl up on the roof like the dog did, 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
so,
that's
I got it figured out, obviously.
Well, she's trying to find your ghost grandma. It makes sense.
I like Dorina's cup giving my mom vibes with the lipstick stains on the top.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it, especially when I wear red lipstick. It looks like I'm just drinking blood, which is accurate usually. So,
Mama.
I like that.
No, but anyways, I really do want to ask about your guys' podcast because you've been doing it for so long. And do you guys talk about anything and everything, like sports, movies? Like
whatever comes up.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
And what's an episode that you think that was it? That was like that was our best one.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one.
I couldn't tell you what we did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
it's all a blur.
Matt never re-listens to the episodes.
No.
Like I've recorded, it's done, I'm moving on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you like me where you hate listening to yourself?
I'm not as critical as other facets, but no, I just – we had the conversation.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah, it's over. Don't look at the past, just the future.
At the beginning, when we first started doing it, I used to re-listen to all the episodes because I wanted to get better at it. I wanted to see what we were good at. But in the end, you let that go because what is the strength of Matt and I's show is not our lists. It's our chemistry.
Yeah.
Somehow we found. Talking. Yeah, just talking about stuff. And we start the show, the first 20, 25 minutes is just bullshit us talking about whatever, checking in, depending on time constraints.
Yeah.
And then we get into our lists and then we battle within our lists. And our lists sometimes send us onto separate tangents about our life or whatever's going on in the world or whatever we thought about things. And then we compile that list at the end and then say goodbye to the fans. But yeah, we've – for some reason, we keep staying alive and fans keep coming with us. We've got a pretty strong Patreon. And, now we're back on Collider on camera. Mark Fernandez, when we brought it to him, he was very happy to hear that we wanted to come back. He's always been a fan of the show. Mm-hmm. We were on here before, and it was a bit of a more neutered show to try to fit in the constraints of what they were trying to do. But we said if we came back, and certainly it was going to have to be on our own terms and our show fully cuss words, blue material, unsavory stuff, whatever comes up, funny stuff.
Ooh, risque.
It's all there.
Favorite.
I just like that that's the sell. Those are the examples of we can talk about whatever. Just the filthiest, most disgusting, vile. No restrictions, guys. None.
So be honest. Are you guys friends outside of the podcast? Have you guys become friends and you hang out?
No, we don't.
Well, God, that's amazing.
So the chemistry only happens on camera.
No,
I think it keeps it fresher.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Between the two, we've been doing it for so long, and as soon as he leaves here, he usually has 15 things lined up for the night, so I don't know where exactly he would fit in.
Right.
Hey, you want to go hang out and get coffee?
Yeah.
You're like, what do you mean we're going to hang out and there's no microphones? I don't know. I don't want to talk unless there's a microphone. That's so weird. But don't you think that's weird that that's happened now? Like, that's our generation of people that do this job, where I see Mark only at work.
we used
to hang out more. Now that we're both more busier, right?
Right.
But
I
do have friends that I'm like, I only see you if we do a podcast together.
Right.
And that's where we hang out, which is so weird because then we're just like a zoo.
I've never gone. What maybe kind of once or twice have I ever gone out with Mark Ellis.
Yeah, really?
I consider him one of my best friends.
I'd say that about a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Just like, comics, I see you. I see you out. And then Ellis, I've done a few random things here and there. Mm-hmm. But we've been friends for, 16 years?
Yeah.
17 years?
Riley and I have never gone anywhere together. We've never gone to dinner. We've never gone to a movie together. Yeah. We've never done anything together.
How do you feel about
that, Mark? He's invited me, but we've never done anything.
You know what? That's a good point. I invite you all the time, and you don't come out.
I wouldn't say all the time, but he does invite me sometimes.
My fiance and I usually have gatherings quite a bit. We have parties all the time, whether it's like a holiday party that we did last year. You came to that.
I did come. Oh, you're right. But that was a holiday party. That wasn't me and you.
I'm not inviting strangers.
He wants you to invite him, just you and him.
I think
what he's saying.
The barrier, too, that that those parties that you're having, though, is we all have to give up our keys as soon as we walk in the door type of thing. And then you get a random pair of keys on the way out.
That's very true.
And it's an interesting – you have to mentally get into the place.
Look, you want a swingers party? You want a swingers party. That's the fucking what you do. You put your keys in a bowl and then everybody – it's a party.
You go fishing.
But what would – but there's no way that ends well, right? Have you guys ever done anything like that? Because
I wouldn't know where to begin.
Yeah. Cody, not into that?
Yeah. Listen to the soundbite. Yeah. It's his
The
feelings.
Guy that's married and has a kid at the age of – how old are you, Cody? 26, 27?
I am 27 right
27.
Now.
27. Perpetually looks 18. God bless you.
Yeah.
until he turns like 40, and then I feel like he's going to age immediately.
It's like picture Dorian Gray. I'm mentally with Cody. I would love to see Cody at a keys party, a swingers party.
I was going
to
say.
Just to see him put the keys in, he would stand against the wall and just say, how you doing? How's it going? He wouldn't talk to anybody.
That's what he thinks of you internally. Hey. Oh, yes, excellent. My keys are in the bowl.
Yeah, I think you'd be totally unsettled by the whole thing and awkward against the wall. And
Alex is now Googling, where are the swingers parties?
Yeah. Let's find that
Alex,
shit out.
Alex, are you going to show up tonight?
Possibly, yeah.
To the swingers party?
You? Let us please report next week. I'm very interested in that.
I'm glad we got this going.
I think you'll know if he has a big sore right on his lip when he walks in. Like, somebody had fun last week.
Speaking of Kinky's delivery service.
There it is.
Anyway, that's Alex's favorite anime. So there you go. Mm-hmm. I had to make the joke.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Have you guys made a top 10 anime list?
No, we haven't. But Matt is surprisingly very knowledgeable.
Yeah, I know a bunch of animation, but I've never gotten into anime.
You wouldn't think so, but he is incredibly knowledgeable animation.
I love it. That was a backhanded compliment if there ever was one.
I'm just saying.
Dear God.
You don't wear like animated shirts.
You ever seen a sniper shot from a foot and a half away? Because you just did.
Anyways, so I guess we got to talk about some news, Mark. What do you got for us today?
Well, we could go into The Mandalorian if you had.
I didn't see it.
Roka saw it.
I'm busy. I'm a busy person. I really wanted to see it in the morning. I couldn't see it.
Matt, you are watching. We talked a little bit off air. You've seen the first two, but haven't seen the third.
Yeah, correct? Which is the one you guys are, you know, like maniacs woke up at 6 in the morning to watch.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
I enjoy my sleep and I will watch it at night.
Some people stayed up till midnight and watched it at midnight.
Oh, it posted at midnight?
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the first two episodes?
I liked them. They're great so far. Mm-hmm. I like that it's this massive – we're accustomed to a huge story and it's boiled down in essence to two characters, three characters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're just following them. It's the gunslinger through the West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's everything that I kind of hoped it would be. I know you've already expressed your sentiments overall about episode three.
Episode three is my favorite so far. Mm. I would say it's. Are you in agreement with
that? I think I would agree with that.
Yeah, just because of how. But to your point, this world feels so big because we're so laser focused on the Mando, and then this episode just really. No spoilers, by the way, for anybody who hasn't seen it. Now the world just really got big, especially for him as a character, and I'll just leave it at that. And there were scenes in this thing that I was watching this thing at 6:30 in the morning drinking coffee, and I was like, oh, yeah!
And Julie's screaming. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, Julie did come out, and she went – and she was like bleary-eyed and like, what are you doing? I'm like, Mandalorian's on. She's like,
she's like back this to bed. Shit again.
and said, please don't scream anymore. But there is stuff there that – I mean, live action, I've never seen before in Star Wars. I've seen – if you want to liken it because Dave Filoni doing what he does on this, John Favreau. Clone Wars, Rebels, there are certain elements that will pop up in this that happened in live action for the first time that I've seen. And I was absolutely over the moon for this thing. Mm-hmm. I just lost my mind. And Deborah Chow, who directed this episode, first woman to direct live-action Star Wars ever. This is the episode. She's doing Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Get excited now.
Yeah.
This is one of those most beautiful episodes I've seen.
Do we know what else she's worked on?
She's done
– let's take a look.
Well, let's Google it. John, how did you feel about it? And did you love the first episode or has the series grown on you?
I've been a massive fan since the first minute of the show. Just the vibe of it just – checks all the boxes for me because, A, it has an Eastern philosophy, a samurai philosophy combined with a Western's look, which, of course, was the basis of Star Wars. If people want to go back and actually explore how Kurosawa influenced Lucas with Hidden Fortress.
For sure.
It's R2-D2 and C-3PO, those two guys, those bumbling guys helping the princess to this thing. That's all there. Mm-hmm. So, and the wipes are even from Kurosawa, those standard Star Wars wipes.
Oh, yeah.
Kurosawa uses that in all his films. So that's all influence. So for Filoni and for Favreau to go back to what was the foundation of Star Wars, to be influenced by that, to have that this Western's guy, this Western look rather, and then this kind of Ronin samurai or gunslinging guy like Man with No Name with Clint Eastwood, to have that combo into this Star Wars is brilliant because it is small and large at the same time, and that's how that's usually the best Westerns. They're small stories, but they're about larger things. And you see this happening here with the especially the third episode. You should mark it expands the world.
Yeah.
It gives more, and there's shades of things in this that'll make people excited for what's to come down the road. And I mean, Yoda baby, for God's sakes.
Oh yeah,
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Sorry,
I actually don't know his name, but he's
I call him Yoda baby because we don't know what it is.
I'm really liking the meme. Personally, like I have friends that don't watch the show and they're like Baby Yoda. They just know Baby Yoda is awesome, and there's a lot of great memes out there. But there's... so I have a question for all of you. As you're all major Star Wars fans, I'm assuming.
Sure.
Okay, so where would you rank so far The Mandalorian compared to anything new Star Wars after the original trilogy?
New Star Wars?
Yes.
It's up there.
Yeah, I like it better than definitely Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace.
Well, you know,
Solo. I still have Rogue One higher, but they're neck and neck.
Yeah, it's...
What about the newer trilogy?
Yeah. So far, it needs to land for me to be able to fully assess how I feel about 1 and 2 so far.
Right.
Because there's so many unexplained things. Just like, what exactly are we going to get into in this last one?
Mm-hmm.
So if they wrap up a few of those loose ends that are, you know, leave me wanting as of right now, then I'm going to feel better about those and like it. So it's kind of hard to evaluate. Mm. So in 3 weeks, I'll have a better answer for those. But I would say yes as of right now.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow.
I want to see how the series ends before I really put it in any kind of ranking, because I think, you know, you're looking at this as one long story. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't want to judge it, because this thing could, in my opinion, could, you know, we could get an episode and be like, no, I didn't really like that because I was feeling this way. So but right now it's some of the best Star Wars. I mean, I think that there are people out there that aren't really, you know, thrilled with the Disney movies.
Right.
That are really enjoying this. You know, I happen to love My Last Jedi and Force Awakens.
I was going to say, Mark.
Less so Solo.
Is there anything Star Wars you don't like?
Solo.
Really? Yeah. You just did not like them. What about the prequels? Do you like those?
I like Revenge of the Sith, and I've come to love the story. But then Attack of the Clones is really, really, it's the execution, the dialogue. It's like there are moments in that Attack of the Clones that are brutal to sit through when you're talking about the love story. So
I hate Sam.
So it's the execution leaves something to be desired. But over time, I've grown to love the prequels in a way that I love my Star Wars.
It's a great distillation within just a few words.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do. I mean, Attack of the Clones, hate sand.
Could you imagine you're like on a date with someone and that's what they say? And you're like, oh, man, that sucks. Like,
just randomly.
Yeah.
I hate sand.
Yeah. Oh, the worst to me is when they're on that balcony and one's in the doorway. And the other thing, Padme's the one on, my love for you exceeds your love.
Right.
The love that I have.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so in love with you. That's how I talk to my guy all the time. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Some of that doesn't work. But it's hard for me now to judge the prequels because they have – I've grown fond of them over time.
You appreciate the good things about them. Yes.
Correct. Yeah. But if I were to put – I mean The Mandalorian for me right now, 3 episodes in, I like more than the prequels. I just do. It feels like my original trilogy Star Wars happening, and there's great humor in it. There's great action. There's – the characters are fascinating to me.
For me right now, it goes Empire Strikes Back, Rogue One, Mandalorian.
Okay.
The entire history of
Star Wars.
Wait. Uh-huh. As
over
in
the, New
and
Hope?
That's over everything else?
Oh, over New Hope, yeah.
And Jedi, yeah.
Wow.
Jedi, the Ewoks kill Jedi.
For me,
so. Hey, how dare you. It's the age thing. I was the perfect age for Ewoks.
Right, exactly. So that's why I don't bash you for liking it because of the Ewoks. I'm telling you why I don't like it. It's the Ewoks.
But
it's
they
age.
Eat people. They're fun.
The idea that it could have been the Wookiees, that'll never leave my mind.
I know.
Once you hear
that, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Neolithic instruments of war defeated people who have blasters.
Who are bad who shots, have, though? Certain troopers are the shittiest shots ever.
I don't care.
But it's true. They suck at shooting people.
They're throwing their own feces. That is the equivalent of what they're doing and winning. And when you watch this as an adult, you're like, oh, this is painful.
Yeah.
How hey, do man. You rule a universe?
Feces is a powerful weapon in wartime.
It can
so.
Be. Sure.
I have used it. Sam Witwer defends the Ewoks adamantly and has done
because
so.
They're awesome.
But I agree with Matt.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The Wicket is awesome, and like the
yeah,
interactions
sure.
they have. Yeah, like, as characters.
Like him and Leia, like the whole yeah, bunch
100%.
Of characters.
Okay. But Wookiee's coming in. Right. So like that makes all the sense in the world. I wish they'd done that.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're still over. You like Mandalorian more than A New Hope? Is
yeah.
that what I just
yeah.
heard?
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I respect unless your opinion,
thing,
but that's crazy.
Unless this thing
no,
hits
no.
at eight episodes we're getting.
But
so.
New Hope is right after Mandalorian. Okay. So yeah. it's not like, you know, like way down. It's just that I think for me, where I'm at
New
in my
Hope?
Life. Yeah, New A New Hope.
I thought it went Jedi then Mandalorian. Is that not right?
What do you mean?
No, for him, he's saying he likes
rankings.
It more.
I thought you were saying chronologically.
Said, oh, no, Empire, no, Rogue One.
I'm saying Empire, Rogue One, then The Mandalorian. Those are the you know why? Because those are the darker, more mature ones.
Right.
New Hope is about is a younger thing. It's, you know, the two sons. It's very inspirational. Mm-hmm. But I put it behind those three because where I'm at right now in my life, I like seeing this stuff. It's harder edge. It's grittier. It's more mature.
Is it because you're like, more mature and grittier?
I hope so. If not, I'm doing it all wrong. But yeah, no, I like that too. And but New Hope is just right there, right below because of all the inspirational stuff there. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, hey, man.
Some of the dialogue in New Hope, I'm just like, ooh.
Like what? Know, yeah. Give us an example.
Well, I was going to the Tosche station to pick up some power converters.
Yes, basically,
but
yeah.
That's classic.
That is classic Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Empire to me is basically a perfect movie, but then there's that one guy, you know, that when Leia is giving them the download, like before they're all going to go into the Hoth battle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember that guy? What does he
Two
say?
Two fighters against a Star Destroyer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that Ratzenberg? Is that not Ratzenberg?
No. Ratzenberg is different. That guy was just
– yeah.
He's, I mean, that was some acting 101.
He just delivered the line. He just read it on the script and did it. And he's now in the best Star Wars movie ever. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Alex saw it as well. Did you like episode 3, Alex?
I love it because things are actually happening now.
Were they not happening for you the first episode?
You kids.
The first two episodes, things were happening, yes. But now that we have those characters, especially now that we have the Mandalorian, his character built up and seeing him fail, now we can see him rise up from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cody, have you had a chance to see any of it?
I watched it while I was prepping for the show. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you're into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to devote 20% of your time
to
watching.
I saw a few shots. I heard everything. That's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what our production staff does. They don't have time. They actually work unlike us. No, I'm kidding. John. Yeah.
So it's the second thing you care about, Cody, right? Whether your child is Mandalorian.
I mean, I kind of care about this.
Fair. Okay, fair. Yeah. I love Alex going, oh, finally something happened. Let me tell you about story, Alex. You got to lay the groundwork for stuff so that when it happens, it has effect and power. You kids and your ADD, you want everything in 10 seconds.
Okay, but however, I agree with the first episode to me didn't grab me as much as the second one.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like I'm like, oh, this is cool. It's Star Wars, but I wasn't like blown away.
Yeah.
I can understand the craft behind it and that went into the filmmaking aspect of it.
Okay.
But there's literally a scene where they're just going down the desert on those weird, what are they called? Like the
Deebs or Jeebs?
Oh yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, those
like
things,
those animals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the point of this?
I agree with you. That sequence is the worst part of the first episode.
Yeah.
Agreed.
When
he's got to break it, I was like, why are we watching him break?
Right,
a bronco
right.
here.
My God, I loved it.
But it's Western.
Western
stuff.
See, but to each their own. I've heard that, and it just got me. Maybe it's because it just was so just that.
Watching
nothing. There was no implications. There was no Skywalker walking in, going, you know what? We got to take out this other Death Star. You know, it was just, no, I'm going to, you know, break this blurg or whatever the hell that thing is called and get on it and then go to here and Nick Nolte is an Ugnaught.
Yeah. I love upset that made Mark just now. Because that's just me being a nerd and being nitpicky, right?
Right.
But
no, and I can nitpick the shit out of this thing too, but it just, what we do as Star Wars fans is either yell on the internet or accept and just either you like it or you talk about it. We can get in discussions. You guys, we had a great rule of two doing the top 10.
Yeah.
And that was so much fun because it's like, oh, we have this character, performance, and you know, it's like, what the hell you do? And we had this great conversation. So that's what I love,
yeah,
is that the different ways these episodes, Star Wars as it is now, are landing with people. So it lands differently with you. I mean, you're putting this up there, yeah, above Return of the Jedi, which I would be like, you're crazy. But that's what I love about talking Star Wars.
Above A New Hope.
Yeah, even
that one's crazier to me.
That's insane.
Rightly above. It's like 10 slots above. It's just above.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
It's okay.
Yeah, and we'll see. It hasn't ended, right? We'll see when the series ends.
Right.
But anyways, because Jeff Snyder is probably turned off this episode because he hates Star Wars.
Sure.
Let's talk about something else, Mark. I actually want to talk about the craziest news we heard this week that Roxy sent us last night.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this?
Can you please... I want to see Roka's head explode.
Yes, I want to know. Specifically John Roka's reaction to this.
Here's a headline.
Yeah.
Hollywood exec suggested Julia Roberts play Harriet Tubman. Biopic screenwriter says.
What?
In the 1990s, a meeting between the studio executive and Harriet Tubman biopic writer apparently said people wouldn't notice if Roberts played Tubman. Because the famed because she lived so long ago.
Yeah. I am
is
both.
Is this true? Is this not The Onion?
No, this is NBC News.
This is legit.
NBC
I saw this pop up everywhere.
Yeah. So back in the 90s, this is how this is.
I hope that guy got promoted. I think this is a brilliant idea. She's got the appeal. She'll bring people out, expose a new generation to the Harriet Tubman story. I don't see where this fails.
Tom, we got to put butts in seats. Julia Roberts is Harriet Tubman. We'll put butts in seats.
Can you imagine her coming out in blackface, though? And you're like, oh my God, she committed.
They wouldn't even do blackface. They just kind of lightly tan her.
Yeah, 90s.
They would just use CG.
Like Soul Man style.
They would use CG. Yeah. It would be horrible either way.
But the worst thing about this is this Hollywood executive saying nobody's going to notice because they don't even know her. Mm. They don't know who Harriet Tubman is because it's so long ago. So just put Julia Roberts there, the whitest woman in the world to do this. And it's like – I mean she's gorgeous and she's wonderful and is an actress. But my God, I saw this
incredible.
And I'm like
–
But the 90s were known for that white savior shit and all this, like, Dangerous Minds.
But this isn't white savior. This is playing
well, she's literally
action.
Yeah, this isn't white savior.
It's not a fictional character.
No,
it's
but
like
she
a
would
historical
go,
figure.
She would go in the back and go back in time and do what? She would be what does Harriet Tubman do?
What do you mean, what does she
like
do?
She free, right? She
frees
the
slaves.
Underground Railroad.
White savior. Yeah. Back
that's
there's
right.
Harriet Tubman.
So it'd be like
I mean.
The worst version of like the Great Wall or something like that.
Yes, exactly. You know what? I'm both shocked and not surprised at the same time.
At all.
Exactly. Yeah.
At
especially
all.
The 90s.
I think,
oh, my God.
Yeah, our text exchange was really fun last night because we were like, oh, leave it to a Hollywood exec to prove that the human race is garbage sometimes. It's just like it's that kind of like – thinking, but you know, this quote here is like, yeah, but the culture has changed since then. And I'm like, well, that's good.
So. I love that that's their admittance of it. It's like, oh, I guess we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm no longer acceptable.
Thank God.
Cody and Alex, any thoughts on this?
I mean, if you look at the picture over here, the resemblance is pretty uncanny.
Yeah.
spot on. So I don't see the problem.
Should we get Dorian to do a poll? Let's not do that.
That should be the next. Probably
not. Probably not.
That should be the next deepfake Frank does.
Oh my God!
Oh
exactly.
Lord!
Oh, we do have a poll going on.
For who? Exactly. What are we talking about here?
No.
Julia Roberts' body?
Let's not do
that.
Let's not do that.
With her voice. Oh, wow.
We
there's
do,
a line.
Deepfake historical figures.
We do actually have an important.
That's a
you
fun
guys,
idea.
I'm the host here. Shut up. No,
sorry,
kidding.
Sorry.
No. John, I never
take,
shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah, take charge.
I love you, John.
No, go,
take
go,
charge.
Go, 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 go.
No, but we do have an important poll going on in the Collider Live Twitter currently. How did the Ewoks actually defeat the stormtroopers on Endor? Sticks and stuff or their poops? Please vote.
It's metaphorical poop, but it is poop.
Yes, exactly.
Tight race. So
it's what they were doing.
Tight race. So
tight
race.
Yeah.
Their poop.
Oh, my
that's
gosh.
That's great.
Okay, so let's move on to another important story, Mark. This is actually – this I care about, right?
Oh, you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. So Bloody Disgusting, who they did the scoop. They told us about Halloween coming over to Blumhouse. They just did Scream going over to Spyglass with the new movie there. So Wes Craven's estate is now finally getting pitches ready to get a new Nightmare on Elm Street going. So that's – the extent of the article, but it just means that Nightmare on Elm Street is probably going to be back. It's too much of a IP recognizable IP. Obviously, Freddy Krueger, one of the most iconic horror slashers maybe ever, is we're going to get a new movie. We don't know where, when, if it's going to be a continuation from the old series, a reboot, totally new. What do you think? Would you want to – here's the question. Do we do the what we've been doing now? Because Fede Alvarez is going to do a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't know. We hear it might take place after the first movie. That's what seems to be a lot of things happening right now. Halloween did the same thing. I wonder where Scream will land. Should we do this like taking place after Dream Warriors? Because that's a great Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3.
Yes, it is.
So you can't forget Dream Warriors.
No.
But or do you just pick up right after Part 1? Or do you reboot it? Or you just do a movie and just bring Robert Englund in and just forget and just don't even worry about it and just go.
Well, that was going to be my question. Do we know that if Robert's attached at all?
No. No Robert Englund.
Because he should be. I mean,
that's what
I think
a lot of the fans
needs to
are
come
asking.
Back, especially after that reboot with Jackie Earle Haley. Did you guys see that?
No. So, how scary is Krueger going to be as a septuagenarian?
Yeah.
Slow down. Slow down.
Exactly.
I'll get you. Slow down. In the wheelchair.
Yeah, just slowly coming back.
Well,
I
maybe
hope he
if he haunts like a
who do you want to direct?
Well, if we're going horror, my first thought is always Jordan Peele right now because I think somebody like that loves the genre but is modernizing it as well would be great. We also who else was I thinking about
for what
for Nightmare, like who would you want to direct?
John Cena.
Obviously. That makes sense.
Always the first choice.
I mean, to be honest, I wish Fede Alvarez went over to Nightmare on Elm Street instead of Texas Chainsaw. Because I just loved his Evil Dead and his Don't Breathe.
I mean, would you want to see Sam Raimi do something with it?
Yeah.
That'd be
pretty cool, too.
That'd be pretty cool.
Sam
Maybe
Raimi
get a
would
way
be great.
Bloodier Freddy Krueger. That'd be fucking awesome, actually. Are you guys horror fans?
Sure. It's good horror.
Yeah, if it's good, I'll watch it. But I don't watch just anything.
Yeah. So.
Okay, but you did grow up on Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched them all as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the first one is one of my favorites of all time.
Okay, I haven't seen it in years. I don't go back to revisit.
It's a bit cheesy.
I've seen, most of
it. It is.
It's a bit cheesy, but it's nostalgia.
Sure.
But
sure.
It's meant to be cheesy, though.
Right. It's certainly right. It, to me, it's like Halloween, Nightmare, and then way at the bottom is Friday the 13th, like way down there.
Yeah, I would say
you,
Halloween, and then where I don't know where we're going, floating, and then we hit upon some of those. Halloween to me is clearly, it works, it still works, you don't need to remake it. The others are just like, they're of a time on some level.
Yeah,
they are. But Freddy is great, and I watched actually Freddy versus Jason the other night again, hadn't seen it in forever, randomly was on, it was 11 o'clock at night, fuck it, I'll just put it on, and I just like sat and watched it. Monica Keena, by the way, I thought Monica Keena was going to do something after that film and be kind of big, never happened, so it's
she
a shame.
Come back.
I'd love to see her come back, but if we're going to do this, you asked the question, Lee Whannell would be interesting to direct Nightmare on Elm Street, on the heels of what we saw from that Invisible Man trailer, kind of exciting.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Tim Blake Nelson do Freddy Krueger.
That's interesting. That's a good call, man.
He's
in Watchmen right now.
Looking Glass.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, remember
That's a good call, man.
When Krueger got it,
cool.
When Robert Englund got it, he was in his like late 30s, early, I think. And so it's like it doesn't have to be a young guy.
No, yeah.
I think he was in his late 30s.
No, I mean the whole point is that he's kind of like a creepy older dude that's haunting kids, right? That's haunting teenagers.
But he's going to be under makeup, so it's like the age thing we could kind of get away with.
You get like somebody young. Like, what if somebody reboots it and makes it like sexy Freddy Krueger and
there's
like Timothy Chalamet or something?
Thirsty Freddy. Oh, thirsty for Freddy.
No.
See you in your dreams.
Haley Fouches. Wherever Haley Fouches right now, she just perked up. Wherever Haley Fouches.
Yeah.
Timothée Chalamet is Freddy.
Is she really into it?
Oh, she loves Chalamet.
I mean, Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Yeah, I get it.
I have a director for you that I know you want for this. Jeremy Saulnier.
For a Green Room
director.
Good point.
It just kind of occurred to me. I was like, ooh, I would love to see that. Because I think you need a director like that to come in and just do something different.
Yes, for sure.
He's really
an excellent choice.
Yeah, to just have a look, to have a feel, to just get a little. I mean, because Green Room is brutal.
It really is
brutal. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see that in the dream world and then. If we know the rules of Nightmare on Elm Street, it can travel outside of the dream realm. what would that be like?
Yeah, I mean, so, what he what got, about- we obviously, Sir Patrick Stewart is a great actor already, but in that movie, like what Jeremy got him to do as an actor, like he's amazing in it. He's fucking terrifying.
Yeah,
who
he
did,
is.
Who did Overlord?
Oh, that's a good one too.
Because it's just that's a blend of what grounded real world and then fantasy. So you could
that's
do
a good
the,
call.
I Ben Bateman might know.
Avery, oh shit, you son of a bitch. Yeah.
Oh, is that his teammate? That took me like two.
Julius
two
Avery. Yeah, it's, I knew it was Avery. I couldn't remember. Yeah, thank you for that, you son of a bitch. I sat next to him going.
I did. I know.
Damn. Oh, that's
for
so
what
sad.
Question?
That's a great choice, though.
It was who directed Overlord in a question in the Chicago.
Oh, good poll, man.
Live event.
While we're talking, Cody, can you please open up the phone lines as it's 10:30, so we want to talk to some of our audience out there and see what they think about Julia Roberts as Harriet Tubman. So,
why?
What if you had Patrick Stewart as Freddy Krueger?
That's what I was just thinking because of Jeremy Saulnier directed him in Green Room.
Thank God.
You have that kind of menace, though. It's the specific –
Patrick Stewart?
He can do anything, Matt.
I'm not saying he can't, but it's Krueger is kind of a singular –
Yeah.
His, right. I don't know, his cutting wit is just as important as the physical, like the manifestation of who he is when he materializes in your dreams.
Well, let me ask you this. If we went back to Nightmare on Elm Street, would we want, I mean, a lot of people said England, let's get back England. Mm-hmm. But I'd want to go back to that Nightmare on Elm Street feel where he's less the, you know, making quips as he cuts you in your face.
Aww.
And just, no, seriously, and make it the entity, this darkness, this... These, you know, the long arms stretching out, you know, truly nightmare.
So go back to the original where he was scarier as opposed to like where I still love what Robert Englund did, that he started making more, you know, comedic performances later on and in campy, especially that's how we got Freddy versus Jason. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So which I wouldn't mind seeing again.
There's a balance, right? There's a balance with it. He started to go there in Dream Warriors.
Right.
You know, welcome to prime time, bitch. And he's a TV and he, you know.
It's a great scene.
It's a great scene. But if you pull it back just a smidge, like to Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, he's screwing with his victims. He's he's like, hey, watch this. And he cuts off his hand. It's like stuff like that. Yeah. I dug more than the, you know, the. When we got to Dream Child, you know, or you know, where it's just weirdness. So there's a balance.
You want less Roger Moore and more Daniel Craig.
There it is. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good
call. Yeah.
Nice. Excellent call, Matt. Cody, please let us know. Oh, you are on Collider Live. How are you? How's it going?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Who's this? What's your name?
Nathan from Wilmsport, Indiana.
Hey, Nathan. What you got for us? You got Matt Noss and John Rocha and Mark Riley, Cody Hall, Alex Marzone in the booth.
Awesome. What's your guys' favorite, most underrated horror film?
Session 9.
Ooh, great
Session
question.
Nine.
Thank
no
you.
No one talks about Session 9. Session 9 is so scary. Every Halloween I watch it, it scares the living crap out of me.
It's a good one.
It's so good. Peter Mullen and the shocking David Caruso in this film. It will mess you up from the beginning to the end. That's what no one talks about.
That's a good one, John. What about you, Matt?
I just know the greatest hits.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I don't go into the obscure unless somebody's like, you really have to see this. And be like, okay, I will watch it. But I don't know. So this is one of the topics of – I'm glad it never came up for us when we did the show together. Because it's horror. It's like if it's not Halloween or from, you know, Friday the 13th or Cabin in the Woods or
– Well, then what is a horror movie not so much underrated but just one that you grew up with that you actually really like that you go back and watch?
Zero.
Really? So you're just not a big horror guy?
I don't get scared, so I get bored.
Ah.
Every once again, a movie will get me to jump and whatnot, but most times it's like, of course they came out from this. Like, of course. But how does this character not see this?
But now that the horror genre has changed a bit, what would you say is something that recently you actually like? And it might not be that type of
Well, I mean, Get Out.
Mm-hmm. Right. That one's a great one.
But it's not really horror in the sense that you're asking about right now compared to like Friday the 13th. It's more psychological and those were physical, I guess, although you are stealing the body of. Yeah. But you have to go back to like Cabin in the Woods or 28 Days Later or something. It's like every 5-7 years, there's another one that I'm like, oh, that's great. I will watch that all the time.
Well, I'm glad you brought a Cabin in the Woods because that's my pick. I think that's one of those movies that not everyone has seen. Mm-hmm. And it's probably it's on like probably top 10 of my favorite horror movies of all time. Wow. I think it's fantastic.
Ding.
No, ding. Cody didn't care.
Did we get a royalty? Is that what that is?
That was a ding
royalty.
That's
a ding royalty. I like
top
that.
Top 10. Cha-ching.
Perfect.
Mark, what about you?
Recently, I'm going to. There it is. This year, one of my favorite movies that I missed in theaters and kicked myself, Crawl. Alexander Aja.
Oh, that was good.
It was so good. If you like creature feature, I mean, and that's horror for me too. I love anything that eats people. Mm-hmm. I'm down. And if you stick with Alexander Aja, go to his Hills Have Eyes remake. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Wes Craven, that remake is brutal.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
It is one of the best remakes I've seen. And I mean, you could argue that Wes Craven's original is better. I think the superior is Aja's. Hills Have Eyes. It's a great, and I don't think people talk about it except Clark Wolfe. She loves that one. So
no, that makes sense.
Yeah,
Cody, Alex, you got one.
Annabelle Creation, I think, is pretty underrated. It gets a lot of love.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a fun one, Alex.
I was gonna say 28 Days Later as well.
Mm.
I don't know if that's underrated though.
Come on,
what
Alex,
do
a better one.
How about 28 weeks later? I thought it was pretty damn good.
I'm seeing in the chat people are saying Neon Demon, Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
What's that?
Also,
Tigers Not Afraid.
Oh, Tigers Not Afraid. That's the one that came out, I think, last year, but I saw it this year by director Issa Lopez, and it destroyed me. It wasn't necessarily scary in the sense of like a typical horror movie, but it's just the topic of it. Like, did you see it, John?
Not yet. No, it's on the list.
Okay, so
because of your recommendation,
it's on my top 10 of the year. Mm-hmm. And if you guys haven't seen it, I would check it out. It's a beautiful, heartbreaking movie.
Top 10 of the year.
I'm doing Cody. I'm doing a hand signal over here to be established.
Yep. Ding.
Nah. We're docking your pay.
Thank you.
What do you think? What do you think about? Both of you, as horror people, hardcore horror people. Mm. Do you think Gone Girl is a horror?
I think it has horror elements.
I would say so.
Fatal Attraction?
Gone Girl, does it have horror?
Yes.
That's a horror, right?
Yes. Gone Girl on some is horror.
I have argued for years that's a horror film.
I say Joker's a horror movie. So.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, it is.
How so?
Well, first of all, the score is completely Bernard Herrmann.
Is that just for Gary Glitter? Is that what you're saying?
No. But good point, but no.
Okay.
No, I meant this. No. I think it's a character study of a monster, of somebody that becomes a monster. Okay. And the music is completely like Hitchcockian, Herrmann-esque.
I tried to listen to it at work, and I started getting angry, and I was like, I had to turn it off.
Yeah? Were you starting to become the Joker?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
There's elements of in that subway. That's a horror movie.
Exactly.
You know? That is a horror movie. So, yeah, I agree with that.
You also sound like we're doing El Grito.
El Grito.
Can you do it, John?
What, mariachi?
Do it.
No, I don't
Bolivian.
Think I
can.
That's
like
the best I can
like
do.
A little one. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll descend early.
Oh, too Latino for you there, Cody.
Too Latino for you.
Cody, please let us know we have somebody else on the line. Oh, you are on Collider Live. Who are you? How's it going?
Hi, I'm Cam from Las Vegas.
Hi, Cam. Mm-hmm.
Hi. I've called in so many times, and it's like my 11th call, and I've come in.
Is this the first time you got on?
This first time I've gone on, yeah.
Oh, well, welcome.
Right. Congrats.
Thanks for the support. You got a question for us?
Yes. Or more theory, really. It's about The Mandalorian.
Yes. Okay. Don't spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil, please.
Oh, don't spoil. It's not going to spoil this episode, but if you've seen the first two episodes, then I think it's a theory relating to Baby Yoda.
Okay.
I think I know what the Empire wants, or the Imperial Remnant wants to do with them. Because the scientist guy, the Dr. Pershing, has a Kamino cloning symbol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think, and I got this theory after finishing playing Jedi Fallen Order, the video game. No spoilers for that either. But in the game, a huge presence of them were the Inquisitors, the Imperial Jedi Hunters that served Vader. And you would know about them if you watched Rebels or read the Darth Vader comic. And I think they want to use Yoda, the baby Yoda, to clone Force users as a new for new Inquisitors or a new Force army to help rebuild the Empire, or something of that sort.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm on his wavelength. That's kind of where I've been going with what's happening, why they want this baby Yoda, and I love that idea. Some people are wondering, too, if it could be a clone of actually Yoda. I think it's just a new – it's the species of Yoda and Yaddle, and then new creature, Force-sensitive, clone it for – mysterious motives or whatever they're going to do with it. But I agree with that.
That makes sense.
I love it, too.
John, do you have any thoughts?
I just wonder if the next two names are going to be Doya and Dayo. We'll just keep this weird Yoda and Yaddo.
Yoda,
okay.
Yaddo.
A lot of thought went into that guy.
That's so funny. I was just thinking, he should be Frank.
It's just Frank. Perfect.
That's the asset's name from now on.
Hey, I'm Bruce.
Yeah.
Get the asset. What's its name? Frank.
Frank? Frank? No, there is a line in the third episode that might lead into his theory. No spoilers, but it might lead into his theory.
Well, it's a line. Sense. We should clone that thing. I don't know. Some subtext going on right there.
Werner Herzog has the lines.
We have to get it over to the Empire cloning facility so we can make our false army.
He should be on it the whole time.
Bring me the Frank now.
The Frank. Cody, the Frank. Alex, you guys got any thoughts?
Nope.
There you go. Brevity is the soul of wit, gentlemen.
Oh, you are on Collider Live. Welcome. Who are you?
2 days in a row. This is Sam from Atlanta.
Yep. Hey, Sam. Welcome back. What's going on?
Yes, I was the one who was sick yesterday.
Feeling better, I hope.
Know Riley. Riley was mentioning a remake that he preferred over the original movie, so I thought I would just kind of go around and ask you guys, what are some remakes you think are actually better than the movie that is remaking?
Ooh, Ocean's great 11. Question, Sam. Yeah, thank you.
Certainly.
Ocean's 11. That's good a good choice. One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hills Have Eyes, I said it. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
That's better. I'm thinking of remakes I like as much as the original, like Fright Night. I love both the original and the remake.
Okay,
But that's like better, I guess, The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
The Thing. I think that's the gold standard
for
that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best. Okay. It's the greatest remake ever made.
I would say True Grit. True Grit's better.
I agree with that.
Man, True Grit's better than the original. As great as the original is, you don't have Glenn Campbell. And Glenn Campbell kind of takes away from some of the original. And when you see this one, it's really
310 to Yuma, if we're going to keep that.
Yeah, I don't. I like the original still better than
I prefer the
Mangled.
Okay,
Cody, Alex?
I kind of like the Fede Alvarez Evil Dead.
Oh, that was a good one. I don't know if it's better, but I like it.
I think it is.
I tend to agree with you, Cody.
Wow, that's I tend to agree with you.
Wait, what?
Wow. Yeah.
Here we go.
Wait, Mark, hold on. You think the decent remake of Evil Dead is better than the original?
The original, yeah, because I like Evil Dead 2. Okay. Now, if we're talking Evil Dead 2, no way. Because there's something about Evil Dead 2 where I feel like Raimi hit it right there.
Evil Dead 2 is also kind of a remake of the original Evil Dead, right?
Right. Yeah. That's why I like – it found its footing.
Okay.
Now, for the remake, it just hit me better.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scarface. It's very slight.
Side question. Of those first three, what is your favorite? What's the order?
Oh,
for me,
Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and then Evil Dead.
Same.
Okay. Agreed. Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah. I go Army of Darkness number one.
I mean, and I don't blame you.
It's so ridiculous. It's fantastic.
It's so fantastic.
It's so good. Alex, do you have one?
I do not, but in the chat they're saying The Departed.
No.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Scarface.
What?
Scarface, certainly.
Okay.
Scarface, but can we go back to that Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Did I hear that right? I love you, Collider fan who wrote that, but no.
It's a good remake. Yeah. Let's be positive. Yeah. It's a good remake, it cannot touch the brutality of the original. That was you might as well just. It reminds me of a snuff film. You're like watching is he just filming a guy with a like that's just killing people because it felt so real.
It's pretty messed up.
Yeah. Guys, we have an update.
Yeah, I misquoted him. I apologize.
No,
he will always love the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I like the 2003 remake.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, we're all on the same page.
Look at the drama you created, Alex.
Way to go, Alex. You say three things all show, and you're
the fly.
Damn it.
Okay. The Fly?
The Fly.
Oh, shit.
Would you take Goldblum's over Vincent Price's?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Me too.
Absolutely.
I mean,
me too.
That's my favorite Cronenberg.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it so much.
I would agree with
that. It's an excellent movie.
God, what's everybody's favorite Cronenberg? That's a good one.
This sounds like an SNL skit.
Yeah, I know. Well, yesterday we were doing Pete Schwede's balls. I felt like it was so mellow.
Yeah.
I love the way your balls smell. Yes, that's very good.
Yes. Can you please put them in my mouth?
Good times.
Thank you. Yeah. Please let us know when we have another call, Cody.
Oh, cool.
You are on Collider Live. How's it going? Who are you?
Hey, gang. Hey, what's up? It's Luke Nelson. Can you believe it?
Hey, Luke Nelson.
How's it going? We've been talking to you a lot this week. How do you get in and nobody else gets in?
because I'm strong with the Force, because my name's Luke.
Oh, there you go. What do you got for us today?
I want to, well, first of all, I want to have a question for John Rocha. What happened to that jacket from Movie Talk, man? That
yeah. Do you like it? Do you like it?
Yeah.
I put it on the handlebars of my Harley outside. Now, I had to have it. I like that. I saw it the other day at Wilson's Leather Shop, and I was like, this looks great. It's old school, like 80s jacket, the leather, and the bright colored zipper. So I was like, I'll buy it.
Do you feel like you're like in Greece or something?
No, I just like wearing it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's bundled up. But you should. You should dance with it or something. Yeah. Do you have a question for us today, Luke?
Yeah. So my question is, going back to the Nightmare on Elm Street remake or reboot, what? Are there any like child actors that you want to see placed into the high schooler roles?
Mm.
I have one. I think the kid that plays, I think his name is Jared in Booksmart.
Mm-hmm.
The actor's name is Skylar Gisondo or something like that. But he plays Jared in Booksmart, and he's also in The Righteous Gemstones. And that kid is great. And I think that he's going to be a big deal throughout the year. So.
Cool. Thank you, Luke, for the question.
An aside, I saw Booksmart for the first time last night. It might be my favorite movie of the year.
Isn't it great?
Really?
It's so great.
Over the platform?
It's now in my top five, okay. So I'll just say that. I mean, it hit me in a way that I couldn't believe, and I was just going to say, yeah.
It's in your top ten.
It's in my top
ten.
That's
what you're trying to say.
Top five.
Cody sucks.
No, it's in my top five. Oh, okay, top five.
That's
top ten. I get it.
Yeah. But
it's
so great.
It's beautiful.
Didn't it make you feel like you were watching? Oh,
no.
There's Cody
no.
again.
Nope. No. No. You don't get it now.
Didn't it feel like you were watching a movie, like a teenage movie in like the 80s or 70s?
Yeah.
That's why I loved it so much.
Okay. It knew exactly what it wanted to be.
Right,
the
performances
across the board.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde, right?
Yeah, she directed it.
Unreal.
Yeah.
To come out and just do it. I just love that movie.
The dream sequences she shot, they look amazing. Like it looked like a beautiful like Legion or something, like a TV show. Mm. Yeah.
So I love what he suggests with the cast there. I was going to say, cast the entire – just bring Booksmart cast over Nightmare on Elm Street and have Mike Flanagan direct it, who just tweeted – put me in, coach. I've got a pitch for the new Nightmare on Elm Street. So Mike Flanagan just put that out there on Twitter. And I'm
good
like,
with
yes,
that.
I would love to see Mike Flanagan do a Nightmare on Elm Street.
I still – it's interesting. Like Mike Flanagan-wise, I still think my favorite of his is Oculus.
Okay.
Like, do you still love the TV show more?
Yeah, the TV show is my favorite. Okay. And then I would go Dr. Sleep is my favorite on what he's doing.
I mean, Rebecca Ferguson playing Freddy Krueger.
I mean, that's not a horrible idea there. That's
right?
Not bad.
I think she can do it all.
Mm. She's great.
So do you guys have an answer for Luke's question?
Well, she can't sing because she didn't sing Greta Showman. I would say...
Maybe she refused to sing the shitty songs.
You know what? I'm going to toss you out this door right now. What's the question? The kid?
Yeah.
I like the kid from Jojo Rabbit. I'd like to see that kid.
Okay.
Both Thomasin McKenzie and him, I think they would like to. And the little nerdy kid with the glasses, who was the great comedy
like,
relief.
He's like, I guess it's a bet to be a Nazi.
When he's wearing, like, you know, paper mache uniform.
Yeah, it's cardboard or whatever.
It's cardboard.
The newest technology. You're like, oh, man.
Those three kids in a horror film would be great.
They're really great. Matt?
I mean, there's the one kid that's in Ford versus Ferrari and Honey Boy.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
in that.
He'll continue to work.
Yep.
It just made me think of whatever happened to the kid from Looper. That kid was so stellar in every scene, and I never saw him again. And I wonder if it's going to be, you know, be great to put somebody in this next movie, but then it just made me think of all the kids. Like, very few get to be Haley Joel Osment.
Definitely.
Who works consistently, and you're like, that guy's good every time. Mm-hmm. But that kid steals Looper every scene he's in. He's such a good little actor. And never saw him again.
He was scary as hell.
Alex is trying to find him. Cody and Alex, do you have a choice?
I don't know. Alex?
Let's go with Kelvin Harrison Jr. He was in Loose and Waves.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to go with that guy from Loose. Kelvin Harrison Jr. great actor.
Sassy Cody's my favorite. Let us know when somebody else is on the line, please, Cody. You are on Collider Live. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, this is Brian from Colorado Springs.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian. Do you have a question for us today?
I'm so glad I was able to call into this episode since Riley and Rocha are both on.
Nice.
They have both said how they have recently found love with online dating services. So that's what I'm calling about.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
What do you want to know?
Yeah, what do you want to know, bud?
And recent, well, yeah. It was 6 years ago. but I was lucky. So, yes,
yes,
it worked.
Abacuses and just like, it was early.
It worked that one time
it
6 years
early,
ago.
Yeah, the online dating was just throwing rocks at each other.
Up till then, yeah.
The Ewok defense, huh?
Right. So what's your question?
Yeah, what's your question, dude?
So today is my last day of a 3-month subscription service to a site that I don't want to name because I didn't have any luck.
Okay.
But the way these sites work is that you have to pay a lot of money to be able to contact other members. Mm. But if they haven't also paid, then they don't get your emails and can't respond to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm not going to be resubscribing. But there is one woman that I would really like to get to know better, but she's not a paid person. But after, you know, a little bit of innocent cyber stalking, I was able to find her name and her Facebook. And I was wondering, would it be creepy to try to connect with her on Messenger outside of the service?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Thank
Great
you.
Great question.
Yes. What do you guys think?
Let's tell the truth.
Okay.
Let's tell the truth.
We all do it?
We've all cyber-stalked at some point.
100%.
Yes,
100%.
Anybody who's listening getting indignant about it, fuck you.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have done it. You have done it.
My fiancé did it to me.
Yeah.
She checked it.
Of course.
She checked me out. I checked her out.
Especially women have to
yeah.
cyber-stalk.
Yeah.
You know
She's
how many...
Exactly
yes.
right.
We
yeah.
have to check if you guys aren't crazy. Like,
this is yeah. absolutely correct.
Because if we're crazy, we'll just, like, key your car. But if you're crazy, you'll murder
us. How many stories?
Now, hold on a minute.
I have to go with Doreen on this.
Yeah.
Still, though, you have the anomalous stories of, and then she cut something off and threw it into a field. And you're like, there's no male equivalent of that.
Yeah, but there's one. That's like one case.
That's like, okay.
There's been numerous since then that gave actually people ideas. So that has happened. One lady shoved it into a disposal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if you watch the movie Audition, you know, that's creepy.
Well, here's the thing. And I do want to get your opinion on because I think you might want to re-up that subscription to go and contact her if that's the way it goes. Because outside of that, I don't know. How would you feel if you were put yourself in his shoes, if you were on a dating app but you weren't paying whatever it is, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you got a message from somebody on Facebook that said, hey, I was on that dating app too, but I didn't re-up. Mm-hmm. But I was very interested in you. Hi, how are you? I guess it's the way, however you do it. Would that kind of
– It really.
I feel like it's too much, but that's me being – maybe it's like I want to be respectful and whatnot.
Because we're all in – at least here in a public space, right? And people DM us that we don't know.
Sure.
And we have strangers contacting us. It really depends on how you do it. I feel like if somebody contacts me and I don't know them and they say, hey, you know, sorry, this is creepy. I just wanted to let you know I'd like to get to know you. Like something that's not like horrible. Mm-hmm. And then like I saw you in this dating app. If you're cool with meeting people outside of it, you know, let me know. If not, you know, I respect your wishes. You don't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cool. But if somebody's just like, hey, sup, girl.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Then
right.
I'm not going to respond to that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You don't seem to have that. But I agree. If you just send... And even if you put the code at the end, if this is over the line or creepy, I apologize and just you don't have to respond or anything.
Okay.
I would put it in there and be like, it was my last day and they were going to force me to re-up and I don't know if you have it and I didn't want to throw in all this money just to send you one message. But if it's too much, I apologize.
Well, and here's the swerve. On Facebook, you don't see those messages that are not from your friend. So you may send the message. She still may never get it.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
And I think in life, and this is the truth, as long as you handle it correctly, you miss 1,000% of the shots you don't take.
Mm-hmm.
So take a chance, present it correctly, and you never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, at least you tried.
Yeah,
and that's what matters.
And then hopefully
confidence.
You can shoot again. Hey-o. So Cody and Alex, do you have any thoughts?
Man, no. I'm not helping much today, guys. No, I don't.
Alex?
Good talk, Cody.
Alex, are you on dating apps?
Yeah, I am on dating apps, but I've never had any matches.
You never cyber-stalked? Have you ever cyber-stalked?
I've cyber-stalked.
Yeah.
They put their Instagrams on the on their profile sometimes, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but people do that in order to just be a little bit more transparent. I feel like, especially because so many
followers.
People. Well, but so many people lie in their dating profiles.
Yes.
I feel like so that's also like that's why people cyber stalk.
I think men lie more than women.
Yeah,
And men have this tiger obsession. What's the tiger obsession?
How many guys do you know have an angle? You know what I mean? There are numerous girls that have an angle in every picture. It's like you've thought about this way more. You are presenting a reality of a world that does exist from this angle.
Right. That's true. And then there's like face tuning and all this shit now that people do.
I wish you could.
I would just post a picture of me and Cal. And it would just be that's what worked with Julie, at least. It was me with puppy Cal. And she's like, I like him.
Yeah.
And she was nice. Yoga. And I was like, I like her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There it is. Well, we got real lucky.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today because we have a short Friday hour. Oh. But thank you so much for joining us. Matt Nose, John Rocha, where can people find you?
You can find me specifically at Matt Nost anywhere online, or tune in on Tuesdays to Top 10 if you just search for that anywhere you guys get a podcast, or you can find it on the Collider live feed.
Every Friday.
Out on Fridays now. Yeah. That
every
and the
Friday.
Video.
Mm-hmm. The video's out. You find me at The Rogue Says. The video's out every Friday. The Top 10. Give us a chance. Come listen to us. It's great stuff. If you want to subscribe to us, Tuesdays when the audio comes out as well.
Great. Mark Riley, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you?
At Riley Around here on Collider Live. And the Riley Roundtable is coming now to Fridays. And so first guest on the new slot, John Rocha. We're going to be doing the Snyder Cut. We're going to talk. Let's get into that, man.
Release it.
Great. And Cody and Alex, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you back Monday.
Also, I'm at the real Cody Hall, Alex.
I'm at Alex Marzona.
Yeah, thank you for that.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose myhealthpolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. MyHealthPolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.